This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
I do know this. Sometimes you can make a valid choice to be less happy. Amen. I believe that. You don't have to be giddy running around. I mean, you don't have to do that. But I think sometimes some people like to be miserable. Just to be honest with you. Amen, Brother Darrell? Some people just like to be miserable. They just like being miserable. They always got a problem. Everybody, they're always a victim. Amen? Everybody knows somebody like that. And when you see them in Walmart, you try to avoid acting like you didn't see them. Quickly, you're looking at something in the rack. Oh, I need one of those. We have employees like that. We work with them, and they're schlep rocks. Anybody know what a schlep rock is? Remember schlep rock from the cartoons? The guy that just walked around, the rainy cloud was over him all the time. You know what I'm preaching on tonight. All right, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. Darrell's down here and scared me there for a minute. Well, they said he's flabbergasted that the apocalypse didn't start over the weekend. Brother Jeff asked me when he came in tonight if I had seen what he's saying now. I skimmed through this article. There's really just two paragraphs that I want to read that's the importance tonight. But it says it right here, Brother Jeff, what you're talking about Monday night. Now he now says that Judgment Day is going to come October 21st. So the rapture already happened, I reckon. Isn't that what they all say when they're wrong? Now it's something spiritual and we can't see it. Well, we've had our fun of the poor man. Everybody's mocked it out. I mocked it out Sunday, I guess you'd say. However, this situation that we went through, we know. Okay, let me preface this real quick. We know this guy was wrong. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ decided to come back last Saturday, that has nothing to do with this guy. It doesn't make him right, amen? Jesus Christ is coming back when the Father tells him to come back. The Father is the only one in all of creation that knows when that time is, amen? Understand that tonight. And so, we see in these latter days, people are naming times and dates, and they're proclaiming this, they're proclaiming that. And, you know, the Bible says that evil men, they're going to wax worse and worse. It says they're going to deceive and be in deceived. So they're going to deceive others. And while deceiving others, they're going to deceive themselves. Jim Jones deceived a bunch of people down there. Amen. David Koresh deceived a bunch of people out there. This lunatic that was out in, I guess it was West Texas or somewhere. This reform Mormon religion had 1,400 wives and he ain't nothing but a pedophile, and he's behind bars right now where he belongs. You know, the people were deceived by him, and in turn, he was deceiving himself. Many of us remember back in 1997 when the Hellbop comet. How many people remember the Hellbop comet? How many people saw it? I remember going outside in the driveway back in our house in Florida, and I'd see that thing. You know, I thought that was neat. You know, I know some of our independent Baptist brethren were like, well, why are you looking up there? I'm looking at something that God created. Amen. I'm enjoying it. Praise the Lord. I'm not looking for the Lord to come back on it. Amen. But you have the Heaven's Gates, that New Age community that all committed suicide. Y'all remember that? Because as the comet came over that particular night, they were all to be taken up and out of the way. And here's what's sad about that, guys. Is that the entire Christian community tonight is being lumped in with this Harold Camping fella. So if you believe in the rapture now, you're going to be lumped in with this guy in such a sense as the world explains. But here's what's sad, is that there's a California woman named Lynn Benedetto. I think that's how you pronounce it. I may be wrong. But she was one of the millions that heard and believed in Harold Camping's message. And she became so concerned that her daughters would suffer terribly through what they call the coming apocalypse. And the word apocalypse means the revealing, okay? So don't get too caught up in that word apocalypse. The apocalypse doesn't mean tribulation period. Hollywood has turned it that way, but it means the revealing or the revelation we see in Jesus Christ. But she allegedly, and this is a lady in California, allegedly forced her daughters, 11 and 14, to lie on a bed and then cut their throats with a box cutter. They tried to kill herself, though police arrested her, and the three survived. Now, see, we've had amusement, we've had fun in poking fun of this guy. Brother Coulter told me tonight that the Rich Top Mower fella came out on the news and said he apologized, and now he wants the business back. I guess. I mean, I don't know. And we get a good laugh at that, but for many people, guys, there was no laughing last week. because they believed it so much that they killed themselves. An elderly man in Taiwan reportedly killed himself on May 5th by jumping out of a building. He had heard that doomsday was imminent and had taken recent earthquakes and tsunamis as early warning signs. Well, let me tell you this. He better take the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the tornadoes as early warning signs, as the earth groaning and travailing is desiring to be delivered. That's Bible. But nowhere in the Word of God did Jesus Christ ever say that you would know the day that it was going to happen. They err not knowing the Scriptures. Now, the message tonight is not so much about what we just read in that article. It's not so much about what went on. But I do believe tonight that there's a footnote that what has happened in the past 6 months and what did not happen Saturday and what's going on all around the world of people believing a lie after lie after lie after lie. I believe tonight's message, for lack of a better word, is timely. And that's the title of this evening's message, is simply time. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. And when you get there, let's all stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 29. Why is it important for us to understand that there are millions of people out there tonight believing a lie? No matter how broad the lie may be, they're believing a lie. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. The Bible says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. They that weep, as though they wept not. They that rejoice, as though they rejoiced not. And they that buy, as though they possessed not. They that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness." Heavenly Father, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of your word tonight, that it would soak deep inside of our hearts and our minds, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory for that which is said and done in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. You know, many people really never thought that we'd see 2011. If I was to go through this room here tonight and honestly assess, and you had to answer it with sheer honesty, most of us in here tonight who's been saved for a period of time probably did not expect to see 2011. I'm one of those, amen. I didn't think that we would be here at 2011. I did not think that I would be here at 39 years of age. Nevertheless, I never would name a date as to when the Lord is coming back. But with everything that has happened and everything that we see going on in this world tonight, it's just further evidence that the Lord is coming soon. You know, I mean, we got to believe that tonight. I mean, and I don't look to leave, but I do look to be with my Lord, and I hope you do as well. I mean, I hope that you're not looking just to get out of this world. I had a patient tell me the other day, he's in bad shape, very, very bad shape, and just in perfect honesty, he's been on a downward spiral for about the past year and a half, 2 years. He's hanging on, but he's simply getting worse and worse and worse in his health. And he told me this in the parallel bars the other day. He said, "Buddy, I just don't know why they don't take some people out like me and just shoot us." I said, "Son, I said, your part on this earth is not over with." I said, "The Lord's got a reason for you to be here, otherwise He would have taken you on, and you're doing fine. So, you know, let's not think that way." It breaks my heart for someone to hear somebody that thinks that way. It really does. Because I know that is an outward expression of an inward turmoil, an inward pain, inward emotional downfall that they're experiencing. And I want to be able to help them. And sometimes you can, and sometimes you can't. So it's not that I'm looking to leave this world, but I am looking to be with my Lord. I am looking to be with the one that saved my soul. I am looking to be with the one that guides me. And I am looking to be with the one that gave me a perfect Word of God. I am looking to be with the one that we just got finished praying to, and in His name, amen. I mean, I am looking to be with Him, praise God. I like to know, I like to think it on like John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. He just said, "Even so, hey, I said, come on, let's go, let's get it on." But you know, in thinking that way, in looking for the Lord to come back, and being so awestruck with Christ's return, we also got to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who said this in the parable, "Occupy till I come." Friend, that's where you get the word occupation. And occupy doesn't mean take up space. Amen. It means be busy for me while I'm gone until I come. I mean, there's many that have long come before We ask that question, ask the question, why are we still here? Why are we remaining? Why are we still on earth? Why occupy? Why work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, as Paul said? Why live for Christ in a wretched world that we live in today? And beloved, the answer is simply this. Because there's truly so many souls and yet so little time. There is so many souls yet so little time. Paul said, brethren, time is short. I mean, let's look at what I have referred to for years as our most valuable asset as a Christian. I asked a preacher friend of mine today, I said, what's your most valuable asset? And he said, my salvation and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that as a gift and a blessing. Our most valuable asset as a Christian, that's after you're saved, and a Christian is somebody who lives the life for Christ. Amen? Not just being saved, Christianity is a lifestyle. So, our most valuable asset as a Christian is time. It's time that we have that God has allotted us down here to live for Him. Time is given unto us that we may glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and reproduce in believers as well as discipling them so that they too may go and reproduce other born-again believers. Paul said, brethren, time is short. I'm saying this tonight that there are so many souls, yet there is so little time. Number one, time tonight. Time is priceless. You know that? We talk about things that are priceless this evening. I was on the way into the church this evening, and I shared with you many of you earlier, I have to go back to work tonight. And so I brought my own car in, and Denise came in hers. And I was just sitting there thinking about the amount of time that we literally do not have for the amount of things that really need to be done. Nothing so beautiful, so bold or barren as time. It is fulfilling, fruitful, yet time tonight is fragile. One once said that until you value yourself, you won't value your time. Until you value your time, you will not do anything with it. Time is our most valuable. It is a priceless commodity in the life that the Lord has given us. Turn over to James in chapter 4 tonight. You know where we're going with this. James in chapter 4. I say again to you that time is priceless. James in chapter 4. James chapter 4 verse 13. Bible says, go to now, yet that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now I'll stop you there for a second. I talk to some people and they say, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live in Nashville for 5 years and I'm going to build this up. Then I'm going to move to this city and I'm going to build this up. And then I'll move to this. See, you know what? We ought not do that, beloved, because we don't know where we're going to be. Amen. I mean, for crying out loud, I said I'd never move to Nashville. Look where I am. Amen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The Bible says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see, we stand here tonight in May of 2011, and I believe that we need to understand that the only reason that we are here at the end of May in 2011 is that it is the Lord's will. Amen. I don't count today. I don't count tomorrow. That which I do today is priceless in the moment allotted to me for tomorrow. That which I do now is for what God's will is at this present moment, beloved. Whether here or there, if God allots tomorrow, that is His business and not mine. You see, friend, Christ hath allotted and appointed us priceless time. It is to be cherished as the day goes by and as the night approacheth. Friend, it was Solomon that said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Look back into the past months and the past weeks, days, hours, and minutes, and seconds of just 2011. Look back into this year alone. How was the priceless time utilized for the kingdom of heaven and for the bride of Christ in your life over the past, just the past almost 5 months? How did you spend it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Look over the past 5, 10, 15 years. How precious was the priceless time that God has given you used for the bride of Christ? What opportunities did the Lord present to you? Let me ask you this. What opportunities did the Lord present for the time that He gave you in the past year that were seen personal rather than priceless? That's my time. How many opportunities have you taken and you said, no, that's my time? Are we getting it tonight? Are you here? Are you still with me this evening? Do you understand that time is priceless? And so often, many a times, the Lord has given us a certain amount of time to bring glory unto Him. And rather than us looking at that time as being priceless, we said, nay, it's personal, amen. It was used. Was the time used properly? Or was it wasted purposely? You know the thing about time is you can't go back. Boy, how many times in our life, how many situations, if I could just go back and change that one thing. Boy, wouldn't that be busy. Look at the next two verses there in James chapter 4, verse 16. It says, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth it is good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me tell you what's gone, guys. All the Sunday services that you missed from today past, they're gone. You'll never get them back. All the Wednesday night services, they're history. All the witnessing at the local grocery store, they're gone. All the witnessing at the shopping center, the auto parts store, the restaurant, they will never return again into your life to use them in a priceless manner that God has given them to you. That time was priceless. You cannot place an amount on the worth of a church service. You can't. Now, here's two sides of that. You say, well, you know what? I say this, that the Lord has something for you in the church service every time the doors are open. I believe that in all my heart. If you come expecting it, it's here for you. Now, what we say as preachers, when we have a low crowd, we say, well, the Lord knows who's going to be here. We say that, don't we, brother? We say that. Y'all heard me say that before. Now, that doesn't mean the people who missed, that the Lord said, well, they're not going to be there, so I'm not going to have anything for them. All that means is, well, I'm trying to cover my healed heart up and make myself look more spiritual than I really am, because actually I'm stewing on the inside because I'm not here. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just, hey, let's be honest. It's just no different than, I know Brother David and I joke around. Let me pray about it. That's a cop out. That's a cop out and a lie. Some things you ain't got to pray about. Amen. Some things you put legs underneath them and you do right, praise God. To him that doeth not, knoweth to do good, and doeth not, to him it is sin. Amen. Don't tell me that. But you can't place an amount. You can't place a worth. There's no price that you can place on what God will give you in a church service. Bless God, I was called to preach in a church service. On a Sunday night, matter of fact, I was wearing khaki blue jeans, amen. Or I guess that's khaki denim jeans. Tan jeans. I didn't even have a button-up shirt on, Brother Shrello. I had a long-sleeve shirt on that had two buttons up top. No collar. I was liberal back then. I'm just kidding. I pick on something. I'm going to tell you, I can go back to five services in my life that had the most major effect in my ministries, and I can give you the title of the sermons. Those happened in church services. Those didn't happen in my car listening to Billy Graham on the radio. Nothing against Billy Graham, but it didn't happen. And again, I listen to preaching in the radio. I do it all the time. But I'm just telling you, the major things that affected my life and my ministry and helped me out the greatest, they happened, bless God, in a church service. Amen. You cannot put a price on the worth of what you'll get out of a house, out of a church service. You can't place an amount of worth on a moment that you have to witness at the local grocery store, at the doctor's office. Amen. You can't. Young man walked out back in August of 1998, walked out of what used to be the M South building on 4th and Union. Young black boy in his early 20s. He was in his mind, he was going to lunch, but in reality, he had a date with destiny. It was the first day that we went down there for street preaching by ourselves. It was the second Thursday that we went. It was the first time that I went with another fella, and the ministry had been given over to me. We just started it the Thursday prior. We was down there during the lunch hour on 4th and Union, downtown Nashville. And this boy walked out, and he'd been going to a Baptist church, downtown all his life, grew in it, was a fine fellow, and I don't even remember what I was necessarily preaching, just preaching on the corner, verses of salvation, and the Holy Spirit of God reached over to him, grabbed his heart, drug him over, and needed to hear a little bit more of what he just heard. Been going to church all his life, but he got saved on the corner of 4th and Union at lunchtime in August 98. You say, what does that mean, preacher? You cannot put the worth. You cannot put an amount of worth. You cannot put a price on a moment to minister to any soul on the face of this planet. You can't do it. It's priceless. It's priceless, time is. The opportunities that God gives us in this life, you cannot place a value on it. Benjamin Franklin said, you may delay, but time will not. You may stop, guys, but time is not going to stop. You may say, I'll do it next time, but there may not be a next time. Time never ceases to do its very job, and that's move. Priceless time that Christ hath honored, held, and given unto us to hold. Time is not only priceless, but time is precious. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians with me tonight. You know, we speak about the return of Christ and we talk about that. And I do believe, just to forewarn everybody this evening, I'm sure you already know this, but I do believe that you're going to see more and more of these crazy predictions. And I believe there's only one reason why you see these things. It's a tool and a plot of deception from the devil himself to make out the reality of the truth of Lord Jesus Christ coming back as a facade. Remember I told you guys this years back? Those cults and these liberal churches today, these 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and all this type of quote-unquote ministry in the world today, they give somebody just enough of the truth, just enough of it, just like an inoculation. When you go get your flu shot, they're giving you just a little bit of the flu. And they do that for a reason. The cults do that for a reason. Because when we come by, we knock on the door, and we say, yeah, we're from New Testament Baptist Church, and can I share some things with you here tonight? We start to witness to them. They say, oh, yeah, I know all about that. Now, I got baptized. Man, I'm a member of the church. You know, my uncle's brother's wife's cousin, twice removed, Baptist deacon. I'm going to heaven. I know that I am. They get just enough of the truth to reject the real truth when it comes. And that's what we're up against today. We're up against that, and we're up against time. And time is priceless, and time is precious, friend. One day the Lord is going to come back, but I'm going to ask you, when He comes back, how are you going to be found? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, watch this, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Stewardship, my friend. Christ is looking at His bride. He's measuring how she is managing the precious time that He is given. Let me ask you this. Is the time in your life being used for preparation of a wedding to Him? Or is it being used tonight for practicing wastefulness? I don't like to waste time. It bothers me. It bothers me to waste. I feel guilty if I sit down in my chair and I doze off and take a nap. You say, preacher, you probably need it. And I do probably need it, but I still feel guilty about it. Are we using our time in preparation for the day of the marriage of the Lamb? Or are we practicing wastefulness in our life? Hey, is our time being used for the beauty of heaven or the backwash of our heart, beloved? I'm telling you, time is very close, and I believe it's so close that it's almost here. Time is so dear to many, but it's despised by others. Boy, it's amazing. You know who the ones who typically say, my soul, I wish March would get here. I wish August would get here. I wish December. Man, I tell you, time just seems to drag on. Two types of people say those things. Number one, children do, right? And children are what? They're immature, all right? And the people who are doing nothing. Amen? There's been a rarity of days at the office when we are teetotally caught up. There ain't nothing else to do. Those are rare days, but they've happened. And they have dragged and dragged and dragged. You're like, man, what can I do? And I start searching out paper. That's when you start finding busy work. Well, we need to organize. Let's do this. Let's do that. But that's what it is. When you have nothing, when people have nothing to do, time seems to drag on. And when people are immature or young children, time's precious, friend. George Bernard Shaw said, he said everything happens to everybody sooner or later if there's enough time. You know, friends, I tell you what, I want you to look back and I want you to examine how precious the time is in your life and the balances of judgment. How does your stewardship weigh should the Lord Jesus Christ come back today? Was your time spent in praise compared to a person? Was your time spent in prayer compared to pottering? Was your time spent in practice compared to empty promises? Time, friend, is priceless. Time is precious. It's a precious gift from our Creator. The only way to utilize time in its best management, time must be prioritized. Turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you will. Most people know this chapter. Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. You'll see this. You'll see these scriptures at Cracker Barrel and a lot of artwork for the walls. But you know it quite well, Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Solomon goes on, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, and pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, and a time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, and on and on and on. There's a time for everything, and time, friend, is an asset that cannot be reused. There is no go-backs. There is no do-overs. Time cannot be reused. Time cannot be reserved. You can't say, wait, I'm going to hold this part back. I'm going to set it over here. You can't reserve time. And time cannot be reproduced. There's 24 hours in one day. There's 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12 months a year. Listen, that is all we have to serve the Lord. Time cannot be reproduced. It is the only resource that we have that is to be required. Every minute that goes by is gone for eternity, and it never returns. Now, let me say this to you. The moment that you're seeing right now, the moment that you're experiencing this very second, you cannot get this back. You cannot do this moment over. You can't have this moment again. However, you will see this moment one more time. The next time in the history that you will see this moment and all the moments prior and all the moments through the Lord tarry is coming and you live will be at the great, or be at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's when we must give an account of how our time was used. Look at verse 15 of Ecclesiastes 3. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. There's going to come a day, friend, that each and every one of us will give an account for how we prioritize the priceless and precious time that God has given us. Every opportunity to witness, every opportunity to pray, every opportunity to praise His name, every opportunity to practice a Christian life, every opportunity to be in church, every opportunity to be in the mission field, every opportunity to read the Word of God, every opportunity to live a life glorifying unto Him, we have one shot at and one shot alone. And the next time we'll see that moment, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, presented before the Lord Himself and tried so as by fire. There is a time for every season. And for every season, there is not time. You see, time has to be prioritized. Time has to be placed in the proper order, and time has to be balanced appropriately. You know, let me say this. You know, let me back up a second, because I'm just about done. Do you realize that in reality we all prioritize our time? Stop and think about that for just a second. We all prioritize our time one way or another. However, do we always time our priorities? You see where I'm getting at tonight? We do that which is important to us, but do we put a limit in time the priorities in our life? Okay, I got 10 minutes to do this. I got 20 minutes. What's important to us? What's important to what we do? When we sit down and decide what we're going to do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Tuesday night, Sunday, Saturday morning, what do we do, beloved? How do we prioritize those things? The determining factor will lie within whom and what is most important to us. Is it Christ or is it our cares? You see, right now, guys, we're just about to enter the halfway point. We're 1 month away entering the halfway point of 2011. This year will be halfway over, however you want to look at it. This year, back in January, this year was filled with promise or this year was filled with practice, one of the two. This year could be filled with either application of the Christian life or apathy toward those around us. This year could be filled with diligence or it could be filled with delinquency. What we have to do now is look back. We're almost there to the halfway point. But we can look back at how our first part of this year has been used, how our time has been utilized. Could we have done a better job? Could we have done a worse job? Did we do a good job? I think we need to hold to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be with us tomorrow in this land if He wills us to be. So I believe if we walk forward and we leave the things that are behind in our life, I believe we can better prioritize the priceless commodity of precious time. Henry Ward Beecher said, every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety, or we can handle it with the handle of faith. So should Christ return tonight? Should He return this month? Should He return this week, this year, this moment? How will we be found? Do we use our time wisely or do we use it wastefully? Well, Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's an old parable that is written down. It says, the task was given to the young man to build a better world, the Lord said. How? Replied the man. The world is such a large, vast domain, there is nothing I can do. And in all His wisdom, the Lord simply said, just build a better you. How are we going to change those that are around us? You're not going to do it by force. You're not going to do it by trickery. You're not going to do it by hoodwinking anything. The only thing that you and I can do is control the only thing that we literally have control of, and that's ourselves. Just build a better you. Just take the time that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. the time that God has honored us with, the time that He has looked down throughout the realm of eternity. And He says, I'm going to give that family this much time. This is what they have to serve me. I'm going to give this family right here this much time together. This is what they have to serve me. I'm going to give this young man right here, I'm going to give him this small little window in the blink of the history of mankind, and he's got this much time to serve me. And now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to see how well throughout that time I've allotted them that they treat it as it's priceless, is it precious, and they prioritize it. How will you be found when Christ comes back? With every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.